Previously on The Scope.
It means he's waking up and he's hungry.
Yeah? Pretty much.
What does this one mean?
He really is.
No, that's,
and he
that's,
wants the bottle now.
That's pay attention to me.
No, that's. I think that's more distress. Like he's got gas and it won't pass.
I think that actually means, Mommy, Daddy, please stop watching 2.5 Men.
Oh,
that's what that means. Yep, hear it, hear it. Charlie Sheen.
That means Rules of Engagement's coming up. Please throw the chat up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that doesn't waste time on talent. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
Children are exploited for comedic purposes. We find out if Bruce Springsteen is magic or mundane. And Earl stops by again because we're lame and couldn't find anyone else.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Jared gave me sort of a prompt to go, which I've never seen before.
Well, I'm trying to manipulate the board here and give you signals at the same time.
The unstoppable force that is The Scope barrels on. This is episode 41. We are thrashing
to a
band that's singing about stuff I don't know. I'm sure Jared will tell us later, or it'll be in the show notes if you like that sort of thing. As I said, this is episode 41. The regular crew is in. Jared, Adam, and myself, Shane. And as Jared teased earlier, unofficial fourth member of the show, Earl, is in as well. Hello, Earl.
Hello, everybody. How's it going?
It's going well. You look more well-rested than usual. Did you get a good night's sleep, or did the child keep you up?
Weekend is when the wife takes care of the baby. Therefore, I sleep Fridays and Saturdays.
So what happens is that she works all during the week, and then the weekend she takes care of the baby.
Yep. And then I take care of the baby all throughout the week and stay up all night. So she's got the better deal.
You think so?
Well, her job is very easy, so it's not like...
So she can sleep there.
Pretty much.
Wow. So, you've been doing the daddy daycare now for, what is it, a week and a half?
Week and a half, on the button.
Are you...
Would this be the Eddie Murphy version or the Cuba Gooding Jr. version?
I don't know. I haven't seen the second one yet, so...
So we'll stick with Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
My question is this.
Yes, sir.
How are you feeling about it? Do you think that... Actually, this will be two questions. Do you think that you want to go back to your work, or do you want to stay home? For the rest of your life.
I'm enjoying being for the rest of my life.
Or at least 16 years or so.
But the problem is there's no money in staying at home for the rest of your life.
There really isn't.
Unless you could operate a sex line from your home. Maybe.
I thought about that.
You do have that voice.
I
that smoky.
That. Hello.
70s.
It might have to be gay sex, though. How do you feel
I'll
about
have to
that?
Polish your rod.
Would you do a gay sex line if you could make good money and stay home?
That would be a good clip for a long time, by the way, Jared.
You know, if it was regular gay sex, sure. If it wasn't that freaky gay sex.
He's fine with regular gay sex.
I totally set it up for that, by the way. Previously on The Scope, Earl talked about gay sex.
Hello, let's talk about gay sex. I'm polishing your rod.
Adam, would you like to join Earl in his daycare?
No, I'm fine. It's not working and not doing that, so
staying away.
You don't want to father a child just so you can stay home and raise it?
No, I thought he could help father Earl's child.
Oh no, I don't think so. I want my child.
Could you imagine a two-headed child? One would look like Earl, one would look like Adam.
We'd have a sitcom, I bet.
I think that would be great.
2.5 Men.
My two-headed baby.
Wow.
Half-day daddies. That's
that's for everyone. Collective.
So did
shots.
We get an answer, Earl? What do you want to do? I mean, is it something for the time being you want to stay home?
Oh, for the time being, I want to stay home. Mm-hmm. Time being, I'll stay home. Work on the house.
How long is the time being?
Do you think
you get bored of it.
Do you think a regular job is in your future?
Probably. Because we need money.
But yeah. Fair enough. You know, money is very, very
money
important.
Money is there, so I'm doing the side sketching thing, trying to get that rolling again. Getting rid of stuff in the house.
And just getting used to...
Cleaning the house.
Getting used to being a father.
Yeah. It's definitely different than I thought it was going to be. There have been some challenges. But, you know, I just... You figure out how to do it.
What's been the most difficult thing in the last a week and a half that you've learned that you never thought you maybe would have been able to do, but now you're doing it?
Getting him to sleep at night, but I think I figured out some techniques.
Does it involve baby NyQuil?
No, it involves chloroform and a cloth.
Wow, you took it a little deeper than I wanted to.
The crowd clearly reacting to your shenanigans.
He always presents you with something different because he's always growing and changing. Mm-hmm. So when you got it down, he changes a little bit, and then that doesn't matter if you know it or not because he's doing something new now.
Very nice.
So there you go.
They move fast. They're slippery.
Yes.
Earl's starting to sound like the Oxygen Channel. It's a little unnerving.
I get in touch with my inner self and
shouldn't do that with a child around.
Yeah, absolutely not.
And then I watch Xena.
Okay.
And with that, let's move on to something that probably was seen a lot at Xena. It would be Jared's latest convention experience. That would be Con on the Cob.
Con on the Cob,
Con
yes.
Con on the Cob.
Jared was gone for...
In beautiful Akron, Ohio.
A long weekend. I mean, things were happening for him.
I guess.
And he's here to tell us all about it.
Well, Jared, what do you want to know?
Tell us about your experience. How long does it take a fellow to drive to Akron, Ohio from Minneapolis, Minnesota?
You know, it's about 12 to 13 hours. Thankfully, I only had to drive as far as Chicago, where I met up with some friends and carpooled the rest of the way. And by carpool, I mean I sat there and listened to CDs and studied up on my lyrics so that when I was performing songs I've never performed live before, I didn't totally screw them up.
Did you guys have like a movie montage moment where you've got music playing and you're all singing songs together? Like
Walk 500 miles.
Yep, there was that.
The Proclaimers.
There was a scene where I jumped down, straddled two cars, and then
something at a Footloose, yeah. Perhaps. You know, you're stop at a flower factory and swing around the bars.
Yeah, exactly. All the standard moments.
Very nice. So you're going to this convention, and yep. you're a musician, which yep. is it's a heavy music focus, and yes. you're very debonair and suave, man. There must have been ladies hanging off of you left and right.
No, sadly no. It was actually a very small convention. Mm-hmm. It was a gaming convention, and I ended up spending most of my time hanging out with my fellow musicians and the fans who had come out to watch us perform. So as far there could have been no convention as far as I'm concerned, because I didn't really check out any of the other programming.
Kind of a chance to touch base with your peers and people that yeah. you've worked with over the internet.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I got to see some people that I hadn't seen, some since MarsCon back in March, others since my trip to BaltiCon mm-hmm. In May. And it was just fun to kind of talk over what everyone's up to and discuss where we're headed with this whole FUMP project thing.
Sure.
And, yeah, just get some insight on the future.
Now, I'm sure they're probably all listening, so I think this is a very fair question.
Yeah.
You know that you've met them all. Who did you like the best?
Who did I like the best?
Who was the coolest person of the FUMP? And shout that person's name out
loud.
Well,
I don't know if I can pick out a coolest, but I got to meet a fellow named Sea Monkey for the first time.
Sea Monkey.
Who is specializes in parody songs that probably go into the more taboo topics.
Oh, my.
Incest.
Some of Earl's...
child abuse, that kind of stuff.
Wow,
seriously?
That sounds like a
yeah.
bag of fun.
Well, not maybe child abuse, but definitely... pedophilia.
Rape?
It's,
I hung out with a pedophile, Rafe and it was wonderful. Year,
so. No, the song, he's not like that at all, but the music,
so
his music's like that. And here's the thing. Is
you keep Sea Monkey away from me.
If you're in the right mindset, he puts on a very, very good show. I mean, he had the crowd in stitches.
So was the mindset like Silence of the Lambs?
Performed with conviction. You can mock it all you want, but he was one of the hits of the weekend.
It's a joke. You got to roll with it, Jared. Jeez.
So anyway.
Don't be so sensitive.
Who did you like the least?
Yeah, who you saw and you said, boy, that guy needs to take a shower.
Yeah, pull a Tony Goldmark.
I can't do that. I can't.
Oh, God, did I just pull a Tony?
There's definitely people on the list, but I'm not gonna really? Name names.
So you're saying right. Thump members out there, some of you.
Thump members?
Thump.
It's the Thump.
It's the Thump. THEFUMP.
Thump members. Some of you out there, Jared's got a
no.
Eye
it's
on
that
you.
Would be non-Thump people. Oh. Everyone in the Thump is
they shower
is good
and they lather up.
I don't think that they showering do. is a requirement of the Thump.
No, it's really not. Some I mean, people perform better without a
right,
shower.
I would say it's probably the opposite.
And I guess we can apply that to all rock stars.
And you see the way to remember that's what it's called is I use a phonetic and
okay.
I remember it's the Funny Music Project.
See,
oh,
that's how I remember. I don't know
that's
what it really
key.
Stands for, but...
That's how. That's where you pull the comedy from right there?
So one of the things I learned while they're there, they had everyone, for the most part, scheduled to do two sets throughout the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the unfortunate people, or the only unfortunate person, who was scheduled to do both sets on Saturday. So I had an afternoon set at 2 and then an evening set at 8:30.
Did you say, after the first set, stick around for the second show, it's completely different from the first?
Something to that effect, but not quite.
You should be on stage, Adam.
I...
I didn't really think much of it back when the schedule was posted a few months back, and I was actually kind of relieved that I could just kind of focus all of my energy in one day for performances, not have to have any sort of anxiety or mental preparation on multiple days. But it turns out that I don't perform a lot, so performing two sets in one day kind of took a lot out of me.
You were exhausted by
that. I ended up cutting one set or one song out of my second set and just ending with the song before it, which is great because it was a special kind of Con on the Cob specific edition of one song that I made a few jokes about some people, and thankfully two of the three were in the room. So
that's good.
That went over well. So yeah.
So all of the conventions that I attend involve heavy amounts of drinking and good times and good time Charlies.
Good time Charlies.
What about Con on the Cob? Is it a similar vibe, or is it different than like a Mars Con or a Convergence?
It's different in that there isn't like the party room scene that you typically get at a Minnesota convention. There was on Friday night. They took over the room that we were performing in for music. For a party late that night. So there was definitely a party there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday night, there was a birthday party for a friend of ours there. And there was drinking there. But there was pretty much only like one or two spots you could go to really get some sort of party atmosphere. And it was definitely a small convention. I'd say there was just maybe a couple hundred people there.
Not a lot of people. Not a lot of rooms.
The good thing is that they had most of the performances were in
Earl's being assaulted by the mic.
We're in the lounge, which has a bar, so you know there was always a supply of alcohol available, which is nice.
So did you beg all of your FUMP fellow FUMP members to come out to the Minnesota conventions and say, this is how it's really done? We party down even on our small conventions?
I would say the great Luke Ski took most of the burden of begging people to come out.
Mm-hmm. I know that half.
Most people... most of the people there already know about it and were planning to go. So there was some plugging of it, you know, but really it's an easy sell on this crowd.
Gotcha.
Do you think that they do the cons less there because they actually have cool things in Ohio and sports teams and college sports teams and professional that perform well?
I don't know that they do the cons less. I mean, I think there's more conventions out there than there are here. There's just something unique about Minnesota and how the whole party scene has taken. I mean, it's been this way for 20 years, where people will take hotel rooms and transform them into some sort of themed party, and there'll just be, you know, a whole floor of them that anyone can go to. I can remember that back when Earl dragged me to my first mini-con. That's where it started, and then when that kind of downsized and the group split off to form MarsCon and Convergence, it just went. They did the same thing, so.
More focus on having a good time.
Yeah.
And everything doesn't have to be about the nerdier ventures in life, right?
Well, the parties are definitely themed around, you know, geek culture.
But people still want to have a good time.
They still want to have a good time. And a lot of the programming is scheduled around that because they know the evening is where people cut loose and have a good time. So
they cut. Everybody's got to cut.
So I think my big adventure at Con on the Cob was the return trip on Sunday.
Oh.
So here's the plan, right? I wanted to get back home to beautiful Minnesota. By Sunday evening,
because
I had Monday off and I wanted to get some stuff done. And as I said before, it's a 12 to 13 hour trip. So I arranged that I'm going to ride back to Chicago with the great Luke Ski. LukeSki.com, by the way.
It's like
throwing it in there. We're going to leave about 6:30 in the morning, right? This is great. It's a little early, but I figure I'll get 4, 5, 6 hours of sleep. No problem. I can make it. Well, after this plan is made, we find out about the surprise birthday party for our friend. And this isn't going to start until after the concerts have ended, say about 2 a.m.
Oh.
So already there goes a big chunk of the sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the party. You know, I decided I was there for maybe an hour. About 3:30, I think I managed to get to sleep. So
wow.
I got about 2.5 hours sleep. We hit the road. And somehow I managed to stay awake the entire way back to Chicago. I think it was in a daze. Like I was so tired I couldn't sleep.
Wow.
I don't know.
Overly tired.
It was weird.
You've gone full circle.
So then insanity takes over. I decide, yes, I will hang out at WindyCon with you, Luke. Luke has another show at a Chicago convention happening the same weekend. So I ended up going to this other hotel, sitting there for about 4 hours. You know, and I managed to sell a couple CDs, so I guess it was worth it. But that really delayed my my travels back to Minnesota.
Yeah, I guess.
So I finally get on the road, and it's just like 6.5, 7 hour battle to get back to Minnesota through the dead of night in Wisconsin with dead deer on the roadside, and Yeah, I had to stop, say, every hour, hour and a half, just to kind of walk around and remind myself I was alive and I needed to survive.
And to verify, you did make it back.
I did make it back. Okay. Clearly, this is not the ghost of me speaking on the microphone.
Well, but wouldn't the ghost of you say that it's not the ghost of you?
I think it would.
Probably. Ghost of Jared, very devious.
Yeah. Except if it was the ghost of me, you'd hear chains rattling. So.
Yes.
So will you be going back out east for more conventions, or for the time being, are you happy with what you've accomplished?
I think I might, if Con on the Cob ends up with the same extensive lineup as they did last year, I'd consider going back. It wasn't necessary. I managed to make it a fairly inexpensive trip with carpooling and sharing a room with people.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't profitable, but it wasn't that big of a burden.
A financial hit.
So we'll see. I think I would have had more fun if John was there with me.
So this goes out to John. Next year, get your ass.
But I completely understand why he couldn't go. So.
There's no excuse as far as I'm concerned. So let's move on to our next topic. Jared, you sent this email out to Adam and I.
Yes.
Do you want to describe what this is?
Sure. We got this message through the Scope MySpace profile from our friends over at Renerd.com. And they're doing a questionnaire to people that they... what did they say?
They said
people
admire,
they like. They admire. They admire.
Let's not use that one.
They admire everyone.
Anyway. So what they have is they're coming zombie apocalypse Q&A, and they have five questions they wanted to ask of people they admire and just kind of get their answers. And I thought, well, we could do the canned written response, but why not address it on the show? And since Earl's here and he's a fan of zombies, yes, we can get his input as well.
Very
so there's
nice.
Five questions we can go through. Shane, you want to go through
the I will read them because that is my job to read questions.
Good
the
job.
Coming zombie apocalypse Q&A, Earl.
A zombie apocalypse Q&A.
Okay, question number one. It's fairly simple. Slow zombies or fast zombies?
Slow.
Why do you say that, Earl?
Because zombie, if you take a look at it, the actual word means sleepwalker.
Oh, he's going to really break it down. Adam, do you care? Slow or fast zombies?
I don't know what the question means, I guess.
Which do you prefer? Which would actually be? I don't know.
Do you prefer classic Dawn of the Dead zombies?
Okay.
Or...
My issue...
Earl's going to spin it.
My issue with these questions, because I saw the questions, was that what would we prefer if we were to experience a zombie apocalypse? Because obviously it would be slow. I would prefer.
Yeah, I guess
that
would be right.
If I were a zombie, I would prefer to be fast, though. Obviously. You got to get brains faster.
Well, see, so you're looking at it from both perspectives, and exactly. I got to respect it.
Another year off of work, and you might be. You never know. So
I took it as the realistic angle.
You.
Like, what could happen?
Yeah, I don't...
Faster?
Well, I think you're going to go...
I think faster zombies would be a hell of a lot scarier, but... In the real air quotes world, slow zombies would probably be.
Is it in a survival of the fittest kind of mode? Wouldn't they have to be at least moderately fast?
No,
the zombies
overwhelmed by
they'd
numbers.
Fall apart. They'd fall apart.
Well, no one really. That's the thing about zombies in the world of zombies. No one really explains how they are actually alive. What's keeping them alive? Is it something mystical? You know, it has to be, I would guess. So.
From a gas
that's the thing I never considered was the stresses on zombie physiology from moving too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Earl's definitely opened my eyes on that one.
No, I mean, I took a look at Dawn of the Dead, and I'm like, wow, all the zombies are going to be between 18 and 25. That's no fun.
Are you talking about the new Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, the crappy Dawn of the Dead.
But clearly won't be your answer to number five.
Oh, no! I'll wait and see what number five is. Now I got suspense.
Let's move on to question number two. If you had to pick one weapon in the coming zombie apocalypse, what would that weapon be?
Ooh.
Jared.
You know, it's probably a trite answer, but I'm going to go with a shotgun. I mean, well, geez. What if you run out of shells and you're screwed?
Yeah. Your answer is then shotgun with unlimited ammo cheat.
Clearly. I don't know. Maybe a nice heavy shovel would be good. You could use it as a tool, but you could also, you know, beat on zombies and maybe chop off limbs and heads.
Didn't you read that book about the
brains.
World War Z?
Yeah, World
what
War
What kind
Z.
of weapon did they have in there? That wasn't the big thing?
One of the big things they came up with was like an incendiary bullet that would, they had developed it so that it wouldn't exit the wound, but it would like go into their head and then burst into flames, destroy the brain. That was their big weapon. They had some other kind of multi, I forget what it was called.
Didn't they have some sort of like, what does death carry around? One of those big, blades.
Well, they had some sort of blunt instrument that had a couple of different, I guess, edges or strike zones on it that you could use in multiple ways. It was had like a spike and a club and all kinds of things, kind of in one. And
that's
I forget what that was called, but that was pretty clever. You want that?
I want that because you have to think if you have some sort of a projectile weapon that that involves bullets or shells that eventually you're going to run out. So
sure. Once the industry shut down and they're not producing
anymore. Have to be realistic about it. So I say some sort of blade clubbing device.
You just said in our zombie discussion, you have to be realistic about it. So I'm going to point that out.
Okay.
You did say that.
I did, but that's why I guess I would take the blade or the clubbing device.
Perfect.
Over a shotgun. What do you think, Adam?
Lightsaber.
That's a perfect answer. And Earl, you are the expert on zombies.
Well, yeah, the first thing you want to do is secure an area for yourself. But that's not always the best thing. What you want to have is...
weapon, though.
What kind of weapon would you like?
If you're in the wild, you have no choice.
Not a perimeter would not be a weapon.
Saying, if you can carry it with you, it'd be awesome.
The best thing to have would be more of a... God, I wish I knew the make and model of the gun. It's like an assault rifle, but you can also use it as a sniper, kind of like a... M16 type-ish weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're long enough so when you do run out, you can pop them with the stock.
Pop them with the stock. There you
go. Pop them with the stock.
Pop them with the stock.
What you want is something that you can hit them. You want something that can shoot long distances.
When the zombies come and eat you now, pop them with the stock.
Because I like the shotgun. Sorry. Shotgun mm-hmm. looks good.
But they got to get close. Range,
but they got to be close. But, I mean, if you can get them, knock them down, you can just get them as they come at you from a distance.
Well, let's
also a good chance shotgun at even like medium short distance isn't gonna
explode ahead.
Blow their heads up.
Yeah, very true.
Wow.
Question 3: hole up and wait, or roll out and regroup?
Ooh,
that's tough.
I'll start with this. I say you always need to be on the move because once they get you trapped in an area, you're in trouble. I would say roll out and make sure that you're never overwhelmed by massive numbers of zombies. You can always move faster than they can. That's what I think. Adam.
But
I'd suicide right away, so I wouldn't really...
Forget it, Adam. Adam's far too lazy to actually take on the challenge.
That means you become one of them, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You kill yourself, you don't become one of them.
Yeah, you do. You're dead. Well, you wake up and you wander around.
But in some
what
of
do you
the
think
movies,
a zombie is?
In some of the movies, that's they good, have to like sleepwalker. Make them zombies. In other movies,
yeah,
they...
Yeah, there's a one-time thing where they just... all the dead people start as zombies and nobody else becomes a zombie. Yeah.
No, when you die, you become one.
Okay, well, in that case...
you better blow your head off.
Right. Couldn't I lightsaber my head off? Then
probably,
well,
yeah,
if you have
could.
A lightsaber, I suppose you could.
Qui-Gon Jinn yourself. Jared.
Done.
You know, I was going to go on the hold up. What is it?
Yeah.
Hold up and wait.
Hold up and wait approach, but I was thinking back to all the times that happens in the movies, and it's almost always overrun. So mm-hmm. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to, you got to regroup. And like you said, you're always going to be faster than them.
Run like hell. And Earl, you are the expert.
I've seen both scenarios play out, and both scenarios usually end up in crap. The smart
is there
move,
a third scenario you'd like to suggest?
Outer space.
The thing is, the smart move is, in a sense, to hole up because you do not know where you're going to go when you're wandering around.
What if you make a plan?
Have to make a plan, and the smart move, like in the original Dawn of the Dead, they had an escape. They said, if it becomes overwhelmed, we can go here and get out of here.
What if you run out of ammunition for your super assault rifle you described for number 3?
That's where you have an escape route. Both scenarios absolutely suck.
Clearly, if Earl and I were in the situation, we would be battling, because I say you're crazy.
So no difference.
But you lock yourself in a basement.
You move out. You're absolutely right. You lock yourself in a basement, you're trapped. If you stay anywhere, you want to make sure you can get out. But if you're on the move, the problem is you don't know where you're going to end up. You could go around a corner, and you could be in an ocean of zombies.
Why I would so end up in an ammunition factory.
That's where I would go.
Why are we so sure that zombies would really care? Like, if they can't get to just one person that is holed up, why wouldn't they just be like, all right, let's move on to like people that aren't holed up, people that are on the run? I bet there's a huge caravan that's going to run out of gas just a few miles down the road.
It's hard to say.
That's the problem with being out in the open. You don't know what nature.
Also,
is
I'm kind of an asshole. I don't think if I was out on the road, anyone would like accept me into their like group.
Yeah. You would be the guy that would be like, screw you. You'd probably tattle on us to the king zombie.
People like you are the reason the staying hold up always fails. It's always one person that says, oh, screw you people.
And it's Adam.
And then it's
he doesn't commit to the plan.
I just said I would
hold up. Don't commit
to
the plan.
Yeah.
Question number 4. What would you rather face, zombies or the infected? Which I guess would be the infected from 28 days, weeks.
The 28 trilogy.
The 28 trilogy. Jared, we'll start with you. You are an expert on all things infected.
I think I'm going to go zombies, just because, as we've talked about, they're slow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a plan and you've got the right implement, you can outrun them.
Absolutely. Earl, we'll just go right around the room. You're next.
Zombie.
And Adam.
Zombie.
I think the correct answer is zombie. We won't belabor that point. And our final question, this is a tricky one.
You know why? Because for me, I'm colorblind, and the infected, the only real way to tell is their eyes turn red. I mean, they get really sweaty and stuff, and they
vomit blood on you.
But you never know if that's out of love or if they actually are infected.
Some people are into that.
Yeah.
So.
Favorite zombie movie of all time is our fifth question. Ooh. Jared.
I'm going to go with the original Dawn of the Dead. Wow. I really like that one. I don't know. That's...
Yeah. Earl?
Original Dawn of the Dead.
There you go.
Adam?
I don't have one. I don't really like zombie movies. I don't get the fascination.
You know what? I don't think it's been made yet, so I'm not going to answer on that. I just... Because here's the thing. I think that...
You need to see how
that's avoiding the question, I think. But,
but I don't... You know what?
You don't like any zombie movies
at all. I think that the Dawn... And first of all, I don't count the 28 Days or 28 Weeks movies as zombie movies because that's not really zombie movie. I think it's more of like a... apocalyptic,
but even if it was
infection
a zombie film,
mode.
It was like the worst zombie film.
It's not. I would disagree with that.
It uses ideas and premises from the zombie,
but it's
films,
not a zombie movie.
It's
not.
Danny Boyle didn't want to make a zombie film.
We're not going to get into that, Earl. I'm just saying that I wouldn't classify it as a zombie movie.
When Robert Kirkman's The Waking Dead, Walking Dead, I always forget
The Walking Dead.
When that one gets made into a movie, do you think that would have a chance?
I absolutely do, and I haven't.
And they're making World War Z into a film as well.
Yes,
I think the
what.
World War Z?
Yeah.
They're making that into a
film. Oh, I haven't heard of that.
That's a big book.
That's good. It's good.
But I think the thing with all the zombie movies that we've seen out there is that it still involves people doing dumb things.
Yeah.
And I want... And
that's why I hate 28 Days Later, because everything they do is dumb in that film.
But it's not a zombie movie. It's a zombie
film. They just wanted to be artsy about it.
See, I knew this would go over well with Earl here.
Very good. Very good.
Sons of bitches.
Well, you heard what I had to say. We all agree with it, and that's that.
I like it when Earl calls artsy British. Earl calls British artsy.
British people with their tea.
I watch a lot of British stuff. I don't call it artsy. This is all like, well, we have to be hip-hop. And not hip-hop, but new age rave about it. I mean, if you're going to take sleeping pills in the middle of a goddamned open field with infected people out there, that's stupid. I've never seen a zombie film where they do that.
I don't disagree with you, Earl.
It's like we have all this armor. Hey, let's get rid of it. Okay.
I'm not.
And I think that just supports what Shane's saying is that there's always somebody who does something stupid in the film just to further the plot.
That may be consistent with most horror movies. Actually, people they do something stupid to advance the plot in a certain way. I want to see somebody do something smart the entire time through a movie and then still pay the consequences.
Smart things. It was just the outside world that forced him into bad consequences.
I think the biggest problem with zombie movies for me is that they are essentially all horror movies, mm-hmm. which just that doesn't click. Like they're not like survivalist kind of movies. They're not like action movies. They're just horror movies and.
Did you see the original Dawn of the Dead?
Boring to me. Yeah.
Okay, which cut?
I don't know. The one that they played on USA all the time?
Oh, the USA cut, yeah.
I think that I could draw a parallel between the television show Jericho, which is also another survivalist, apocalyptic sort of show, which has a great premise, just like a lot of zombie movies have great premises, but it just fails.
It may be the only show we get to watch in the spring, though.
There we go. So, we're taking a lot of time here in the opening segment, so let's quickly go over Scope World Series of Pop Culture, Jared.
Yes.
Give us the final update on that, and then we will move on.
As we said last time, we are taping all of the episode, all of the matches December 1st. That's 2 weeks from today as we are taping.
Everyone's
less
locked
than
in
2 weeks.
That we know of?
Everyone's locked in, and if they don't show up, then we'll have to deal with it on the fly, but... I think we're good to go.
Okay, and that will also involve the show changing format the next time around, so it won't be a standard Scope program.
Right.
But I think you will definitely enjoy what we have planned for you.
It'll be a Scope special event, and we'll release episodes. I believe we're doing it in three chunks, released once a week, so you'll get 3 weeks of goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. Tune in. This is a highlight for us, and we're really excited to see how it plays out.
Right on.
Coming up on the rest of the show, everybody, we've got a new game. That's two shows in a row with new games.
Yeah.
We're calling it What the Bleep Am I Talking About? I won't say any more than that. Well, that's a little tease, if you will. We've got a random review of CSI, and we take a look at the latest from The Boss. So pretty much we're reviewing things that only baby boomers like this week.
Perfect.
So everybody get ready. Episode 41 is already a half an hour long, and we've got so much more for you, so stick around.
How does President Bush feel about the legions of Scope fanatics that take the show a bit too seriously? Let's eavesdrop on a recent speech and find out.
Every man and woman and child who suffers from this addiction, from the streets of Philly to the villages of Africa, is a child of God who deserves our love and are helped.
Thanks for watching our backs, Mr. President. We think. Anyway, back to the scope. Children say the cutest things, even when you can't understand what those things are. Get ready to put your listening and comprehension skills to the ultimate test when we play...
What the f*** am I talking about?
There you go.
I'm so glad that after last episode where I made fun of us for talking about babies for an entire half hour, we're doing a game show based on babies.
Well, not really babies.
Adam hates children. It's clear.
Here's the premise, everybody. I went to my five-year-old nephew. We'll call him Aaron because that's what his name is. And I asked him questions about nerdy things, things that appeal to our show, appeal to our listenership. And he described these things for us. And so what we're going to do is play these clips back, and then Adam and Earl will do their best to guess what he is talking about.
So are you
pretty
guys, simple?
Pretty simple. You guys ready? The boys here have scrap paper, which they'll yes. write their answers down. Earl is creating an entire little comic book on one of his, not paying attention to the show, and then knocking down.
Realize we own that content now?
I have created during the course of the show. I have a really bad Batman.
I thought that was a cat.
I drew a really good Batman.
Looks like somebody's flicking me off.
I'm drawing an invisible Batman.
That's awesome. How did you do that?
So everybody,
by not doing it at all.
I'm drawing Arctic Batman in a snowstorm.
We've got a We've got a handful of questions here, and the first topic, I think this is appropriate, would be Star Wars. I've asked Aaron to describe a well-known Star Wars character. You two must identify which character he is talking about. So Jared will play the clip, you will write your answers down, hold them up, and then I will tell if you're right or wrong. Person with the most answers correct wins the game.
Yes!
Jared, let's begin with our first sound clip.
He likes candy a lot. He's a what? Candy math.
I did not understand that.
Play it one more time.
He likes candy a lot. He's a candy man.
He's a candy man?
No one's going to get this one.
Adam's got his answer locked in. Earl is writing his... Okay, gentlemen, hold up your answers. Adam has written down Jabba, and Earl has written down Nine Numb. The correct answer is what?
The correct answer is Luke Skywalker. He's a candy master.
Oh, I could not figure out what the kid was saying. I'm sorry.
Candy. Aaron, I'm sorry. Why Jabba's so fat.
I understand.
It's part of the fun.
What? So,
the candy ass?
Well, he actually said candy master, but we had to cut a little bit out because somebody was talking over him or clipped out or something. I don't know. So let's move on to our second Star Wars character description.
The rest of them are probably a little easier. So.
Get ready. Get ready. And Jared, play your clip.
He turns frozen. And he has a really bad gun. And you can play as him, too. And you get to be bare feet.
Wait.
And you get to be bare feet.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Earl's got his answer locked in. Adam's got his locked in. Earl says Chewie or Chewbacca, as everyone says. And Adam has, I don't know, he's got...
Well, it says Han Solo. I started to scratch it out, but then, because he said bare feet. I thought he said bear. But then I realized he meant bare feet.
So. Adam's got Han Solo written down. Jared. Yeah. That is correct.
He gets frozen.
He gets frozen. That was the clue right there.
I mean, Luke gets frozen, too.
But. Yeah.
Well, see.
Does he?
Well, he almost freezes to death inside the... but then...
That's true.
Han, the kid's four Han years saves. Old. What do you want?
Oh, he was five a minute ago.
He's regressing.
We've got a third character description, gentlemen. Are you ready?
I have a question.
Yes.
Does he know anything about Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, he knows a lot about Star Wars.
So question.
Every time I see him, he asks me questions about it all the time.
He can only work with his limited vocabulary.
Exactly.
I think this one might be a little
candy
more apparent.
Candy and Jedi sound similar, I guess. So.
He's a candy master. Go ahead.
He can fly. Yeah, he has rockets on his leg. He can grab stuff with his little arm thing. It's like, open that thing. He's like this. He can't really talk because he doesn't have a mouth. He doesn't know how to make sad faces.
Doesn't know how to make what?
Pee poo.
He doesn't know how to make sad faces.
Wow.
So both Earl and Adam have their answers locked in. They both have R2-D2 written down, and they both would be correct.
Yay!
I like that.
Bee-boo-ba-boo.
Thank God he did that. I was going to go with Boba Fett.
He's got rockets on his legs, and he can fly. That was inspired by the original three movies, or the new movies, Earl. We've got another character description, locked and loaded. Are you ready?
I think so.
Well, he's black, he's not bare feet or a girl, and he has gloves on, and no, he's evil, but he's good and evil. He used to be on the good side, but now he's evil, and he's still on the good side when he's evil.
What was the very first word? He's black?
Black, but he's evil.
Okay.
Wait, really?
Wait a minute. I want to think about that.
Yeah, me too.
Play it one more time, Jared.
Well, he's black. He's not bare feet or a girl. And he has gloves on. And no, he's evil, but he's good and evil. He used to be on the good side, but now he's evil. And he's still on the good side when he's evil.
The boys
so
are,
ambiguous.
The boys
like
are stumped.
One of those things that sounds like it's obvious, but then you're like, yeah, I don't right. know.
What is it? I mean, he's a child. I mean, it might be obvious, but at the same time, we're dealing with 4-year-old logic.
I mean, he could be a candy master.
He's not.
I'm going to stick with my answer. He's even not, though I know I'm going to kick myself for it. I'm going to stick with it because
he's not bare feet. Answer's locked in. Adam has Darth Vader written down. Earl has Billy D. Williams written down. He sees no color. The correct answer is Darth Vader.
I knew it. Damn it. I
but it could have gone either way. That's the genius.
Because that's what when I was a kid, I said, well, he's evil, but he's good. Yeah. That's what I always thought about
But he's
Lando.
On the good side when he's evil.
I'm going to run out of paper. I thought we were supposed to use like one for each side.
Yeah, you can do one for each side. The game's getting close to being over here. So okay. Don't worry. We can only get so many gems out of the kid.
Yeah.
Okay, character description.
We're still doing Star Wars.
Number 5. We've got 2 more Star Wars left.
Okay.
Here we go.
He has a machine gun. He can't shoot out missiles because John says he can't shoot out missiles.
He's got a machine gun?
No, he's got a machine gun. Do you like to hear it again?
Yes.
He has a machine gun. He can't shoot out missiles because Jonah says he can't shoot out missiles.
Who says? His brother Jonah says he can't shoot out missiles. Play it one more time.
He has a machine gun. He can't shoot out missiles because Jonah says he can't shoot out missiles.
I think the third time pretty much clarifies it. If you guys don't get it right, I don't know what's you're not Star Wars fans.
Clearly.
Okay, Earl. Answer locked in. Adam locked in. Adam has Chewie. Earl has Boba Fett. The correct answer is Boba Fett.
Yeah! He can, too, shoot missiles.
Jonah is
a lie.
Jonah's
a lie. Where did he shoot a missile?
So let's recap the score. Adam has got 3 correct. Earl has got 2.
Uh-oh.
And guess what, everybody? We've got 4 questions left. And 1 question left for Star Wars characters. So show your Star Wars skill by identifying this character.
Well, he can eat people. He spits up on people. He's evil to Luke, and he can Luke can punch him right in the face. And I think that's all.
Can I get that one more time, please?
Sure.
Well, he can eat people. He spits up on people. He's evil to Luke, and he can Luke can punch him right in the face, and I think that's all.
That's it. That's all you need to know. I mean, that's obvious what Star Wars character that is.
See, I got confused because he almost said he can fly. But
I'm leaning toward Ben Kenobi right now.
I don't think Luke could punch him in the face.
Earl is really stumped on this one, Jared. That was
no,
a tough
one. I got choices to make. I got to make the right choice. I'm probably going to get it wrong, but
that's part of the fun.
You need to get this right. Okay, we're both locked in. Adam has written down Jabba. Earl has written down Jabba. The correct answer is
Jabba the Hutt.
So absolutely,
I was
nothing
like, Sarlacc pit can't be a character, right?
That's the only thing that eats people. Right.
You know, but I mean,
I think he was getting that confused. He was getting the Sarlacc
raccoon.
So the score recap is as follows: Adam has got 4 of the 6 Star Wars characters identified. Earl has gotten 50% with 3. Now we're moving on to nerd movies. So let me explain this. These are movies that we might have seen or a 4-year-old might have seen, but I think it's pretty much a lock that you've seen these movies.
Oh, my goodness.
We've asked him to describe 3 movies. I need the two of you.
He has seen these?
He has seen all three of these movies. And I want you guys to identify them. And we will start with movie number one.
Well, he's a kid. He gets this 3D spider on his arm. Rare active spider. Well, he has webs. He can go anywhere, even to a tree.
Wow.
He can hang upside down. The sky, green gravel, the green. Well, there's one.
He's really good at not saying the actual character's name, though.
He escaped from prison, and he's really good at fighting. And then there's Green Goblin. Him, he got these like these balls that he throws, and then like knife comes out of them. And Spider-Man, he's good. He can like jump and then, like,
we forgot
miss,
that one.
And then come right back at him and jump, and then he miss, and then I'll go to Green Goblin again. I don't know what's his name.
No, good God.
Okay, so let's see your answers.
We forgot to edit one out. Yeah. This is Dune, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got an issue here, Jared.
Yeah.
Adam has Spider-Man written down. Earl has Spider-Man 3 written down.
What?
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to get it wrong because
I would say I'm going to go because I think he mixed a bunch of the Spider-Mans together.
Yeah,
because
when he said broke out of prison, Spider-Man 3.
Well, I don't know if he's seen Spider-Man 3, though. That's the thing.
Well, it's Spider-Man in general.
So we were going to go with Spider-Man being the correct answer, I think.
Correct. Because he did say Spider-Man in the course of one of them.
So at some point, Earl, you're going to have to get one right.
We keep copying my answers.
That's the problem. Let's go to movie number two and see what little Aaron has to say about this.
All right, I'm ready.
Well, there's this guy and there's worms. He's not really human because he has worms coming out of his face. He's the evil guy.
It's not
he has a sword, too. So there's this girl and I don't know what her name is. This guy, he has a sword and like has these things down from him. And I like his hat red. Well, it's dark out, it never turns light, and they have a battle with that guy with the worms. They're on a big ship.
Worms.
And they got cannons.
Evil Dead 2.
Gentlemen, do you have your answers? Do you have an idea?
Hold on.
Adam's thinking.
It really took me until the end to get it. Right, that's hilarious.
He likes his hat. His hat's red.
So, okay. Should I be saying, because I was confused with the first one. So, should we be saying if it happens to be
I think you should try to be as specific as possible, because that could be a tiebreaker.
I think you're right.
Earl looking back.
What if I can't spell?
Well, that's okay. You didn't spell Chewy right. Let's look at Earl's answer. What does he have? He's got Pirates of the Caribbean 2, incorrectly spelled, but... C-A-R-I-B-E-N.
Okay.
I'm doing it quick.
Can we not make fun of spelling?
And Adam is... I think Adam did the
it's
same.
It's radio.
Adam has...
Caribbean.
Caribbean. They both have Pirates of the Caribbean 2 written down. That would be two correct answers.
Fantastic.
Absolutely nothing is changing in this game.
So that leaves us one last question.
Oh,
and
no.
Earl, the best you can do is tie. The worst you can do is lose and disappoint your son for the rest of your life.
Oh, the pressure.
There'll be other games to return.
And I think this one might be tough. So.
I think when my kid's four, this game will probably be being played.
Oh, we'll bring it right back. Yeah. No question about it. Jared, please play our final sound clip.
Well, he can't go in water because he got stuck out in fish tank, and there's this black guy, he got scratched like right here, but he's still alive, he didn't die or anything, and that's all I know.
I had trouble hearing him because somebody in the background.
There's a party in the background.
There's a party. That's my wife in the background.
One more time.
There you go, Carrie.
One more time.
One more time.
Well, he can't go in water because he got stuck out in fish tank, and there's this black guy, he got scratched like right here, but he's still alive, he didn't die or anything.
This kid's seen Pulp Fiction?
That's all I know.
Okay, if I didn't know what it was, there's no way I'd get this.
Earl, this is your chance to...
He can't get in the fish tank because he's...
I thought he can't go into water because he got stuck in a fish tank. That's what I heard.
They're really thinking about it. If we had some thinking music, that'd be great.
He can't go in the water because he got caught in a fish tank. And because it's like a weird
Yeah, there's a little cut. We had audio cut out there.
Here's some thinking music for you.
Thinking music, thinking heavy metal. Adam's writing out an answer. Earl thinking hard, arching his eyebrows.
Yeah, I got it.
Adam feels like he's got it and the game is over.
I don't have it.
Come on, Earl.
Oh, Jesus.
Anything at all. Just write down an answer. Come up with something quickly. Quickly. Quickly.
Yeah, hide it in case copy.
Because he might.
Earl writing a very long title.
I'm intentionally misspelling.
Earl has got Cat in the Hat. Adam has got Revenge of the Nerds 3. The correct answer would be Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo.
He can't get in the water because he's stuck.
James Woods is not black.
He can't get in the water because he's stuck in the fish tank.
Right. Yeah. Exactly what he said. It's very.
You really shouldn't have called them nerd movies. That is.
Yeah, because we're thinking all cool stuff. Not.
No, that's a really good movie, but.
Not a cool.
I said nerd movies or movies that a 4-year-old would have seen.
I think you said nerd movies.
Play that
Go back to the records, Jared. You heard me. Well, thank you.
You're recording.
So I suppose
all of our
listeners want to know the final score. There were 9 questions. Out of 9 questions, Earl got 5 correct. So Earl, not bad, not bad. Adam, who does not have a child, hates children. Out of 9 questions. 6 correct. So, Adam.
I think it's important to point out.
2/3, 66%.
The last time we did a game, it was me and Carrie, and I think she won like 9-2.
So she turned it out.
What?
Does that mean Earl is even more woeful?
Earl, you need a lot of learning to do.
No, but when that happened, all you did was make fun of me. This time.
Once again, I blame Billy D. Williams for all my problems.
Billy D. Williams really brought you down.
Damn him. If you're listening, Billy D.
Billy D is not my lover.
So everybody, that was our first attempt at what the bleep am I talking about? I think it was successful. I think next time we might want to try to get more questions, but boy, it's tough to really wring those answers out of those kids, trust me.
It is.
And if anyone would like to volunteer their children to be taped and used as a comedy foil, please contact us.
Once my child starts getting old enough, that might happen, but right now, not good.
I did actually play one with your daughter. I was talking to your wife on the phone, and in the background, she was playing. No, it was you. She said, Stinky Cheese.
Stinky
and it was like, Stinky Cheese.
Did she say Mama Monkey?
No, it ended up being an episode of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, yes.
Where he had to haul the Stinky Cheese.
Unfortunately, you guys don't watch a lot of Thomas, so those questions might not be fair.
Yeah.
I've actually gotten, you know, being a stay-at-home dad, I'm actually getting hooked on Classic Family Feud and Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yo Gabba Gabba's big in our house.
The modern day version of Gimme Gimme Octopus.
It's big in our house, no connection. And let's move on to the rest of our show right after this break.
We're not done.
Children say the cutest things, even when you can't understand what those things are. Get ready to put your listening and comprehension skills to the ultimate test when we play...
What the f*** am I talking about?
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is... Beastus Maximus. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
From the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com, this is Blake Morgan with a cover of a Radiohead song. No surprises, right here on the Scope.
A heart that's full up like a landfill, a job that slowly kills you, bruises that won't heal. A quiet life ahead. surprises, no alarms, and no surprises. Silence. Silence. This is my final fit, my final belly ache, with no alarms and no surprises, no alarms and no surprises, no alarms and no surprises.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the scope.
Under the scope.
Yes, indeed, Under the Scope is back, and we're going to be bringing you some news. Adam, what the news stories are hot off the wire? Things that we need to know about. Things we need to share.
I didn't put these in any real order, so it's kind of
already boring,
order.
Jared.
First one, the internet is up in arms about a Mario Galaxy review, calling it the worst two-player experience ever.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a Variety.
We're all completely disinterested.
Variety.com there, and the guy. Okay, so basically, I don't know if anyone else has noticed or read them or played the game, but. The new Mario games being called, like, phenomenal, 10 out of 10, like, you know, best platformer in years.
Better than sex, yeah.
Do you want to know a true story? I purchased it the day it came out. Uh-huh. I have yet to take it out of the plastic.
That's not surprising.
Why not?
I just haven't had time. I've been busy.
Shane likes to keep his games fresh until he plays them.
And so then when Rock Band comes out next week, then I really won't play it. So there we go.
So anyway, it's getting phenomenal reviews.
Like,
and
close to perfect across the board.
There's some site that gave it 11 out of 10. So,
wow.
Anyway,
hang on, I'm confused. So
that's the Special Olympics
site.
The
worst game ever made or the best game?
No.
Scope score is.
But you have not been doodling.
4 stars.
No, Tony gives it 4 stars.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly, it's getting great reviews. Variety.com, on the other hand, Ben Fritz, a writer for them,
lousy
calls it
Ben
the
Fritz.
Worst two-player experience.
Yeah,
they
so
have
they one
have,
guy on the internet.
They have a two-player. Aspect to the game, which I guess isn't as fully fleshed out as that Ben Fritz would like it.
Okay.
Correct?
Well, a lot of people seem to love it, and so...
Let's play.
In any case, in the same review, he goes on to declare Ratchet & Clank for the PS3 vastly superior, and most people...
Wow.
Seem to disagree with that.
I think everyone disagrees
with that.
Biggest
thing about this is that there's a giant... And, I mean, it could just be happenstance because how ads work on the internet, but there's a giant sponsored by Sony logo that appears on on Variety's page. So
very interesting.
I call shenanigans.
Right. Here's the thing. I think a lot of the reviews that come out of both Hollywood Reporter and Variety do video game reviews. These people aren't video game experts, as far as I know. I mean, they're not playing every single game. So,
and it's supposed to be a hard game, but Mario games usually are. They're like surprisingly hard.
Yeah, you know, especially as you try to gather all of these stars. You know, that's when you really can put some time into it.
It could just be that he got frustrated with it.
He's a loser.
He couldn't play it.
This game sucks because I can't play it. Yeah.
Everybody in this room said that at one point.
Yeah, I know.
And I'll say it again, Earl.
Next up.
Look at you.
I hated Metal Gear Solid because I couldn't play it. I just could not get the controls.
I felt the same way, and then I liked Splinter Cell because it was much much easier for the stealthing around and stuff.
For the
lamos.
So next up, so I think it's this week's Family Guy is actually being done without Seth MacFarlane.
This one shocks me.
Yeah. So yeah. Quoting E. Well, it's weird because it's like Fox has treated the show shitty for so long. Why would they even bother? Like, mm-hmm. you know, put something else
on. You know,
it
gets pretty good ratings.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. Oh, it does get pretty good ratings.
Even when it was on its original run, it had better ratings than everything on there. But they said, let's cancel that and open up these crappy shows for five more seasons.
Are they expecting people not to notice?
Probably.
So they're getting replacement voices?
Let's read the news.
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
So E! Online says, the Overlords of Fox have announced plans to air an original Family Guy episode this Sunday and move forward on three more without the participation of mastermind Seth MacFarlane, who not only serves as the showrunner but supplies many of the key voices.
Yeah.
The move has angered MacFarlane, who stopped work on the series last week to join the picket lines with other WGA members, film and TV writers whose union went on strike November 5th to force... we all know that.
Right.
It would be a colossal dick move if they did that, Family Guy's creator told Variety, noting the next three episodes of the animated comedy are relatively close to completion, but they have not had a final pass. MacFarlane acknowledged that both the network and producer 20th Century Fox TV are legally within their rights to finish new episodes without his input, but doing so, he said, could not only affect the show's creative direction and thus alienate viewers, but also harm the successful partnership MacFarlane and Fox have built up over the years. They've never done anything like this before, in which they've said, we're going to finish the show without you, he says. It's really going to be unfortunate and damaging to our relationship if they do it. So I guess it sounds like they have finished, or, you know, the voices.
The voices are the first thing they record on cartoons. Yeah. So yeah. They got the voices.
They do go back and will add timely things from time to time.
Yeah, there was an episode of the old 60s Batman where Adam West went crazy and said, look, I want this kind of money. And they said, fine, screw you. They put a guy in a Batman outfit and then found stock footage of his face for expressions. And they said, see, we can do the show without you. And he's like, all right, you win.
So I'd like to bring
it's a little different situation, though.
It is. But I'd like to bring up something that is more toward it. The old Ren and Stimpy cartoon show when they got rid of John Kay. And Nickelodeon decided to go forward, and the show just kind of went down the hill from there.
But that wasn't just Nickelodeon's issue. That was also, what's his name, wanting to take over the show.
John Kruski?
Yeah, the other guy that does. Yeah.
So, I mean, they got rid of him. They did different voices. They got that Billy West guy to do all the voices. He was doing one of the voices already.
Right.
So. Yeah, now he did both, I think. But they got rid of him, and then that went down. Probably the same thing going to happen here.
Well, we'll have to see. Wait and see. If the writer's strike goes on for a long time, it may all be moot because there will be no television.
Yeah.
It will completely go away.
One more story about
I should just rerun Cosby
strike.
Show.
This is... You know what they're thinking about doing is refilming old series.
Why not?
Right, yeah.
Just like old successful series. I mean, they're already written, obviously.
Like Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, go back and redo it.
The weird thing to me is there seems to be a lot of actors. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's only on just comedy shows and stuff. But I was thinking there's a lot of actors that also have writing credits on their shows or are at least in the WGA. But right. I guess that's mostly shows like Sarah Silverman and Daily Show. And
The Office. I mean, that was a huge thing. They stopped
big writer actors, yeah.
The other thing, yeah. So speaking of The Office, a bunch of people have been fired from the set. Excerpt from email from Dale Alexander, key grip from the show. Our show was shut down and we were all laid off this week. We've been watching the news since WGA strike was announced, and I have yet to see any coverage dedicated to the effect that it has on below the line employees.
Yeah.
So far on the show, 14 writers, 2 cameramen, 2 camera assistants. It goes on, 3 soundmen, 3 stand-ins. 2 set PAs for assistant, blah, blah, blah. It all adds up to, I think, 140 people fired. 102 people were fired from The Office or laid off.
Yeah, and it goes on to it affects, you know, all the ancillary businesses that support Hollywood productions, too. Exactly. It's just
a huge deal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say the writers are being selfish, because I really do think they should get a piece of internet distribution, because that's where things are going. But, you know,
you're saying
there are a lot of people who have are being affected and have no control over it.
Mm-hmm. You're saying the studio heads need to step up and
just quit being so greedy and admit that you owe them money for their work.
Oh, we ever hear the writer's side. I want to hear the other side of it. You never hear the other side.
Their side of it is that
they don't want to pay them that money.
No, it's the rising cost of show production. They get that money back from DVD sales.
Pretty much. I mean, it is true, because the people keep demanding more and more money every season. I don't know if they, maybe this is just me, maybe if they actually wrote something good, I'd care, but they're just, everything sucks these days.
It is just
It is just you.
There's plenty of good television out there.
And if I were creating something like that where a studio was reselling it over and over again in different packages, I would want to be paid for
that.
Yeah,
but
work.
If you signed a contract that said
that's why they're negotiating a new contract.
Yeah, yeah, if they want to negotate a new contract, that's fine, but
that's what they're doing.
That's why they're striking for that new contract.
But I mean, it's just all the only people that are going to get hurt are the consumers. Those are the only people that are
I think everyone's going to get hurt.
I'm not getting hurt at all by
television and movie studios.
No, you will get hurt when you have to pay more for a DVD box set, when they won't be able to do as much as they could because they have to pay more. Kids' budgets will go up. They won't be able to, you know, do as much with an episode. They'll be able to say, well, we're stuck in this room. We can't afford another set. It has a long-term effect.
I think the market...
I'm more worried about people who are losing their jobs who aren't writers than I am about
me. Getting a director's commentary.
The market's already set price on how much people are willing to pay for DVDs. They can't skew that much from it without people not buying them anymore.
And considering DVD sales are already declining, if they were to raise prices further, more people just wouldn't buy them. Well, more people won't buy them then, and then there you go.
And people are not buying because they don't know what to buy anymore, because you got three choices now. HD, Blu-ray, and regular.
I think people know what to buy.
Yeah. The other bunch of really small news stories. Guitar Hero for the Wii. It's in mono. I don't know if you
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Really?
Activision screwed up. It comes out of both speakers, obviously, but there's only one channel coming out.
It'd be called dual channel mono.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
People are really worried about that.
So don't play it. Did you have Guitar Hero?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm terrible at it, but I'm up to 4 and 5 starring medium songs.
Wow, that's
so
good.
I mean, this is coming from the only time I played was at Jared's, you know, the party that.
Right.
We
so you're getting there. Ready for the big rock band event that we'll be having.
Yes.
December 31st.
I full comboed My Name Is Jonas, which I understand is the easiest one to full combo. But wow. I'm proud of myself for that.
Good for you.
It's hard to use the pinky at first, but you get into it.
It really is.
I had a conversation with one of my workmates. We both were. I just went up to him and I said, "Hey, you ever mastered the orange button?" He's like, "No, I'm in the same place you are." You know, we just had this conversation about we've got it down where we can use the four fingers.
We haven't
figured out how to move our fingers around to get that fifth button into play, and that's really frustrating me.
There's two general, I've been reading a lot about it, there's two general schools of thought.
Good. One, I'm looking for advice. Here we go.
One is relearn everything and reset your home buttons so pinky is on orange, and then just because your index finger can stretch way better than your pinky can
down to
orange, so and just always do that. The other one is since orange is actually, like, if you look at it, use the least of every key, use every note, just leave them as your current ones and just learn to shift your hand down and back up.
That's where I struggle. I may have to use the first technique.
Yeah.
It's so you're constantly reaching. Hands. So you learn the easy.
Yeah, but
songs.
That index finger, as you said, is more flexible to hit two buttons rather than
obviously
one.
When you have green and blue chords together, then it gets a little confusing, and you have to just work it out in your mind. I have a really hard time like going between what's the first one? Green, yellow, and then red, blue. Like I have a hard time just like when you got to switch those.
It's complicated.
Brain doesn't work. Gene Simmons was recently interviewed, and in it, someone had asked him about file sharers and what he thinks of them. This comes after
Gene Simmons of Kiss,
right? So this comes after.
How do you file share a Kiss coffin?
Kiss coffin, a Kiss douche.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all
and
week.
I mean, to no surprise to anyone, since Kiss is a business, not really a music making group, he wants them to quote sue them off the face of the earth, the file sharers. So. Yeah.
So look out.
Exactly. Guess what? If there weren't file sharers sharing your music, nobody would care anymore.
Ow.
Kiss fans are a weird breed.
Yeah, they are a weird breed.
And lastly, the RIAA has convinced, or is trying to convince, some of its lobbyists or some of the congressmen that, you know, are on its lobbyist bills, whatever, to incorporate into next year's federal funding for universities package that campus-wide to get campus-wide Napster subscriptions or lose all federal financial aid. So for some reason, the RIAA is getting in bed with Napster, I guess, to try to make kids, and this is, you know, the new pay for Napster, not the old.
Yeah. Not the fun Napster.
Right. So yeah, they're trying to get, they're getting in bed with them and forcing this pay subscription model
through. Will that actually happen?
I guess I don't see how the hell that could go through.
No.
So how would that work though? So anyone who was a student there would just get a Napster account, and so they would get music that way rather than sharing it.
Exactly. So inherently, okay. And like, built, I already have it.
I don't need to.
And obviously, it for free. the fee would be built into their tuition somehow. And
yeah. Something.
Huh.
I did see by the way.
It's not a terrible idea, but I don't think you want federal legislation
right requiring it.
Requiring you to get music. You must listen to the Spice Girls.
It's like University of Oregon or one of the Pacific Coast universities.
Tree-hugging universities.
Has a great deal for their students for TiVos. It's $125 for a year for the box and the service for a dual tuner. And they think it'll help kids like not, you know, like study better and not like, you know, have to rush home to watch.
That could be a
TV
dangerous experiment.
Right time, so.
Dangerous experiment.
And so now kids will be watching more TV because they can.
There. How will the writer's strike affect TV. All of this stuff?
Yeah, the writers.
Well, I'm glad you asked because we have one more. No.
Is that it for our news,
yes,
Adam?
Yes,
well, way to go. You did a great job with gathering the news stories, Adam. One of your better jobs.
Did it all in 5 minutes.
It's very, very nice.
I liked it. It was good stuff.
Hey, Jared.
Yeah?
I think we need to move on to our reviews.
Why not?
A little birdie told me there are two of them. Let's see where we start. Adam, start reading some text about some stuff.
Okay. Does it matter which one we start with?
Well,
we should probably do the...
The non-random review first.
Non-random. Okay.
Do the boss.
The boss. Bruce Springsteen has a new album that came out a few weeks ago. I don't know if you guys knew that. If you turned on the TV at any point in time, you probably saw him, though. So today we're going to review his latest album called Magic. It's his 15th studio album and his first with the E Street Band since 2002's The Rising. Magic debuted at number one in the U.S. U.S. Billboard Top 200 chart, becoming Springsteen's eighth number one album in the U.S. and selling about 335,000 copies in its first week.
Which is terrible. I mean, if you think about
is
what...
that really low? Okay.
Well, I mean, it was easy where you could sell twice that and be still not be number one just, okay. Just a few years ago.
Does that say more about the business or about the album?
It's definitely more about the business.
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know.
After falling to number two for 1 week, the album rose again to number one, selling 77,000 copies in that week. Wow. So nothing else is coming out then either, right? Is that
yes, not.
Our first clip comes from the first single on the album, Radio Nowhere. I was trying to find my way alone.
It's the song that has Tommy Two Tone up in arms because it sounds a lot like 8675309.
It really does.
Yeah. I was like,
yeah, but
it's like
bass line is very.
He also sounds like Eddie Vedder, so I wonder if Edward Mueller is upset at him too. Several songs in Magic express disillusionment with the state of American society in 2007, in particular. Others, such as the title track, convey a more general sense of foreboding. Girls in Their Summer Clothes has been cited as a singularly breezy song on the album, though A.O. Scott, or Tony, as his real name is, of the New York Times notes that not even this track is untouched by melancholy. Its narrator, after all, stands and watches as the girls of the title pass me by. Let's take a listen to that breezy song, Girls in Their Summer Clothes. Big bang clock chimes after the sleepy front porch lights. Downtown the store's alive as the evening's underway. Things been a little tight, but I know they're gonna turn my way. Girls in the Bruce's magic can be found in record stores and internets near you. So on to the reviews. Jared, why don't you go first?
Oh, me, huh?
Yes. Jared. Because you're important.
You know, it's like I haven't listened to Bruce Springsteen in any significant amount since the 80s, you know, when Born in the USA was out. And that was really the only time I was into him ever. So it was kind of an interesting experience to listen to this and hear where he's where he is now. And where he is now is sometimes sounds a lot like where he was then in some respects. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some songs where the big saxophone comes in and you kind of hear the jingly bells and the I don't know. It's very reminiscent of his older work while still sounding kind of modern and contemporary, I guess. I'm a little torn on this one. I like a number of the songs. I like Radio Nowhere. I like the subject matter and I like the production values, but at the same time, I feel like maybe I've heard it before. Whether it's his own work he's mimicking or if it's other artists that are influencing his choices, you know, I kind of feel like we've already been there. And I don't know if there's any songs on there that I'm really going to come back to over and over again. I guess maybe it's one of those things where I'll rediscover it on shuffle or something. But it's not by any means a bad album, but didn't really blow me away in any respects.
Wow, very nice. You know, I'll follow you up, Jared, by saying,
yeah,
I agree with you. I absolutely agree.
You should
agree.
Go ahead of me at some time.
I was looking at my notes, and the first thing that you said about the saxophone, the sax comes in, and it feels like you're going back in time.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, there's nothing wrong with saxophone, but at the same time, it totally dates the music, and it dates the sound. At the same time,
it's kind of his sound.
Yeah, it is his sound. There's a catchiness to it. There's, you know, it's... I look at it as good melodic rock and roll music. And when I was listening to this album, I Am Jared, and I said, you know, Bruce Springsteen is Americana. You listen to him and you think, I mean, it's like guys like him and John Cougar Mellencamp. And, you know, they've got this real earthy Midwestern, yep. Even though he is a New Jersey kind of guy. But you would think that when people think of American rock music, this is what...
You got to call it American.
American.
Is it a voice seared by hot coffee in a coal-burning stove?
Absolutely. I mean, this is something that you know, I can respect what Bruce Springsteen does. I can respect his music, but it's just not totally my thing. So I think that it's important, but as Jared said, it's not something that I would come back to and say, wow, I have to hear this song over and over again.
You're not blue-collar enough.
Not blue-collar enough. I'm too elitist. Adam, you have the final word on this album, yeah. And I'm sure it will be very good and important.
It's the same. I mean, it's clearly, it's a generational artist.
Yeah.
Which right. is weird because bands like the Stones, I think they transcend generations a lot. Bruce, I mean, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, with Bruce Springsteen not. I talked to my mom and she loves this album. She's a huge mm-hmm. Bruce Springsteen fan. In fact, I was going to record her reviewing it. And
that would
bring
be good.
That in for mine, but that didn't work out. She went on a tangent about A-Rod and the Yankees that ended. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely listenable. I mean, okay, here's the extent of what I know of Bruce Springsteen. I'm sure I've heard more songs, but I never saw anything out. Born in the USA, Philadelphia, and this. Like, you know, there's more I've heard, but that's all I've ever, you know, known I've listened to.
Glory Days?
Glory Days. Okay, but that's on the same album, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yep.
So.
Born to Run, come on.
So, you know, they're Nebraska. Nice songs. They're just not my thing. Not enough boom and bass.
There we go. And Earl, you heard the clips. Your opinion of the clips?
I didn't like it.
Didn't like it. Okay, Jared.
Have you ever liked Springsteen music?
I like Born in the USA, but that's about it. I think he's one of those artists that get a pass, if you know what I mean. It's like whenever he does anything, everybody's like, well, no matter what, it's good.
I could see that.
Well, let's see what the Scope judges give it, Earl.
The Scope's a little more solid, I hope.
We are. Let's give it a score, Jared.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
Too high.
Well, it's above average, but it's not spectacular.
No. I think there's a reference.
What would Earl score be?
I'd probably give it about a 1.
About a 1, based on two clips of two songs.
That's all I got to work with.
Earl knows what he's talking about, Jared. Not off his back, stop writing.
That first song alone like kind of puts it up there for me, and the rest of it's kind of meh. But
there's a couple other good songs.
I like that first. Yeah, they all sound just like that.
He just cashes in on an image that he's created.
There you go. He cashes in on an image.
I actually like the last song in the album, which for some reason when I played it the first time, it was playing in reverse order, so that was the first song I heard. I thought, this is kind of an odd song to open with, but it makes more sense at the end.
You know what I say? At least he's not that asshole Bob Dylan. That's what I said.
There we go. That's words we can all live by.
Yeah.
I think we've got a random review.
We do.
Get ready for the random review of the week. It could be appalling. It could be incredible, but it's always unpredictable. The random review of the week.
No doubt this will be better.
As you all recall from the last show, the random reviewed television program that came up was what, Adam?
CSI New York.
Oh, yes. And we were all excited about it, as I recall.
Yes. Many groans.
I'm surprised this is the first time a CSI show has shown
up. Or a Law & Order. We haven't really had any of those.
We had an SVU. We did an SVU one.
Every Law & Order show will pop up now that we've mentioned it, and I will hate. I want to ask.
Thank goodness one is on only on cable now.
That the odds are up.
The odds are good. Adam, read your completely off-the-cuff text.
All right. So another CSI, another theme song from The Who. This time it's Baba O'Reilly for CSI New York, which, believe it or not, is based in New York City.
That's the twist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, I don't know if you guys watched it when it originally premiered. It was known for using a blue light to show like how cold and hard New York City is. It doesn't do that anymore. They removed that after the
it
first season.
It seems bright and sunny.
I didn't know, yeah. So the episode we watched was called Commuted Sentences. The team has two cases and two popular tourist locations from where murders occur. Madison Square Park, where a man is stabbed to death, and the Metropolitan Museum of Art, or the Met, as they call it.
Is that what they call it there?
Yes.
That's what the locals call it.
Yeah. Where a woman is shot dead on the steps. What's even more perplexing about these cases is that the team soon realizes that these two victims hold something criminal.
Where's the connection?
Earl, you just stepped all over Adam's great line. Read that line again.
That wasn't good.
I like that.
It's copied from Wikipedia. Or TV.
So I say way to step on his line.
His, not his line.
Continuing on, in our first clip, Detective Mac Taylor, played by Lieutenant Dan or Gary Sinise, whichever you
remember. I kept calling him Lieutenant Dan.
Goes over Forrest. His theory of one of the crime scenes.
It has something to do with Spanish-style bullfighting.
Okay. Got my attention.
The knives were stuck into Bentley's body one at a time, methodically.
That's computers in the background, by the way. Trails. Solving the case for them.
It's as if he's charging instead of
it's leopard
running away.
Oh, yeah. In Spanish bullfighting, the matador stands in the ring and he watches as the bull makes a series of passes. He looks for the animal's strengths and weaknesses. When the time is right, he drives a knife into the thick muscles of the back.
Ooh.
This weakens the bull's muscles, lowers his blood pressure, and provokes angrier attacks.
Almost the same as rupturing the postural muscles.
It's actually the bionic woman, Earl. The
maybe postural a bull's muscles. Doing it.
So, yeah, they saw the crimes and all that stuff. But the next clip is probably way more important than the first because it has our new word of the week.
Oh, I hope it's what I have written down, and I hope you have it spelled
here
right.
Here we go. Phagocytes.
What? That's right.
Is that my cue to play it?
Yeah. Oh.
They're brucellosis listerial bacteria cells. They don't come along very often. This bacteria is unique. It allows itself to be ingested by healthy immune system cells called phagocytes. Once inside the healthy cell, the bacteria steals the internal machinery of the phagocyte, causing it to mutate. The bacteria then hitches a free ride on the phagocyte into the digestive tract, wreaking havoc on the intestines.
Are we immature little boys or
they
what?
Said phagocyte three times.
Why that like wasn't on the soup or best week ever, I have no idea.
Isn't that the gene that makes you gay?
Boy, that was really gay.
I like that the show after I say faggot, they have this show. So clearly it was timed perfectly.
The writers are getting desperate.
That's funny. It's like he intentionally said it three times.
What's hilarious, though, is that when I was watching it, because Jared already had pointed it out, so then I'm watching it again, and like I felt like he said it like seven times,
yeah.
And then I went back to get the clip, and it was only three times, and I was like, oh,
yeah, it was still right.
Yeah, that's two more than you think you'd get. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's it for the review. Shane, why don't you start off this time?
I thought that the show was vaguely interesting. You know, I mean, I'm not a procedural crime drama kind of guy. I've never seen an episode of CSI. Ever, and that's kind of a surprise, considering I'm a big television guy, but I never really had any interest in it, so this was a new experience for me. But, you know, it worked okay until the pseudoscience started getting in the way. All these computers that, you know, they're talking, and the computer's doing what they're talking in the background, and the beeping.
Crime scope.
You know, it just, in you know, they're trying to take it really seriously, but clearly it's not working for them, because it's completely faked. That really bothered me. I know a hallmark of CSI is limited character development, focus on the crimes, yeah. so everyone can jump into the show at any time and not really need to worry about who's who, but I think that it hurts a show, actually, by not having an emotional investment to the people that you see week to week.
Well, you develop it as you watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I suppose.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it's like with Law & Order. The wife watches Law & Order, and I'm like, oh, whatever. But the more I watch, I'm like, okay.
They give you very small snippets of who these people
and
are.
And I kind
of
like that.
Not enough that you feel like you're left out, but enough that it grows over time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then you don't feel cheated at the end of the episode. You're like, okay, I got a complete story.
The other thing that I didn't like about this is the end of every single scene that contained Lieutenant Dan or somebody like that. They would have catchy little phrases, you know, like he has to say something witty at the end. So he'd be talking about bullfighting, and he'd say, "Let's go see if we can get a suspect to say Olay," you know, and then it would cut. Then it would cut. Like, I don't really need that. They also created a homemade slingshot to test the projectile path of a bullet.
Wow.
Which was ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous.
It was ridiculous that a slingshot could approximate the velocity of a bullet, number one. And number two, she hit it exactly right the first time.
She's from Montana. She knows how that stuff works.
I mean, right. Ridiculous in many ways. You would think they would have had the entire area swept.
But they could have just looked.
They could have looked.
Or they could have got the forensic show to come in.
They have this whole bullfighting theme. There's no real explanation why there was bullfighting other than they ate at a restaurant that had a bullfighting.
But yeah. Sinise had a big bullfighting monologue. I was going to act.
Right.
He's
like, this person was killed and they had knives. This person had knives stuck in their body that he was a bull. But there was really no frame of reference as to why the murderer would do that. Right. It wasn't like it was a former bullfighter. It was like this hot chick. That's what it was.
She somehow knew how to do the bullfighting.
Who knew how to do the bullfighting. And then finally they had eight different science montages in it where they're dusting for prints and blue light and they're picking off hairs and looking at semen and whatever in the hell they were doing. I don't know.
Not sure how the semen was involved, but it had to be there.
It was there. So that's my opinion on it. I don't even think Jared or Adam have to say anything because I've covered it all, but we'll just pass it over to Adam and see what he says.
I watch crazy stuff.
Okay, so I used to watch the original CSI up until they had the spinoff of Miami, and that's when I stopped watching. So, I mean, I'm used to it. I understand it. It's essentially the exact same show. It just happens to be in New York. Mm-hmm. I was reading, because I'd never watched I think maybe the pilot of New York. And I haven't watched anything since then. But I was reading that it's usually bloodier. And I guess I kind of noticed
that. Yeah, it was kind of gruesome.
It was kind of bloody. But it's the exact same show. And, I mean, I'm really over, procedurals. I used to watch SVU and Criminal Intent. I used to watch, all of those. And it's just, they're all the same thing. One thing that all of the CSIs are known for is doing while they're investigating or dusting and stuff, there's a music video. It's almost like a music video. It's a Jerry Bruckheimer movie, playing rock.
Well, Bruckheimer's a producer, isn't he?
Yeah. And that's why
it all works out.
I got all the clips of all the different times they were doing that in a 42 minute show. 4 minutes and 31 seconds was no dialogue, them doing stuff to music. 10%
exactly.
of the show was that.
Wow.
Including 32 seconds while they were making the slingshot. That's how long that took for them to make the slingshot.
And it was stupid. It gave me time to say how stupid it was.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, though, you watch the real crime shows, and the forensic people are always in these outfits.
Yeah.
And then on this show, they're out in the open.
Hot and sexy.
Hot
and
sexy,
supermodels.
Sweaty.
Except for the ugly broad making the slingshot, you know? Because only ugly broads can
only make it. Well, that's what they
Just
do in
kidding.
Their spare time.
That's what they do. They make slingshots out of, what was it?
It's something in the medical kit. I don't know. That's what she said. She said, "Give me the medical kit."
It was like an arrow, like one of the pointers, and she bent the pointer.
I used to have one of those real professional slingshots that went around the wrist.
That's what they needed, but
and the principal
the wrist
took
rocket.
It away from me.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jared?
To me, this felt like a procedural crime drama version of a Rocky movie, where where Rocky movies are largely, at least, 3 and 4 and 5 and such, were largely training montages with bits of dialogue thrown in between. And this is what it kind of felt like to me. I do watch some of the procedural dramas, but I watch more of the character-driven ones on Bones and Fox and Life. And they have their crime of the week, whatever that they need to solve. But there's definitely much more character development there, and it's more interesting to watch. I mean, it was a full 23 minutes into this show before they even had any sort of dialogue that was any way considered character development. So in that respect, it's disappointing. But, I mean, hey, it's an easy enough show to jump into. I wasn't lost at all.
No.
So, I mean, I guess it succeeds in that
So even
respect.
Simpletons like you can catch on immediately.
Also, yes. Just so everyone out there knows.
I've barely mastered language this week.
If you're going to commit a crime, your hair's DNA can mutate. So,
oh, yes, slightly mutated.
Yeah.
It'll mutate so badly that it's unrecognizable.
Never ever happened in a previous crime show where they used hair as a DNA sample, but that's possible.
How convenient was it that she popped in the car and left the hair behind? Uh-huh.
My personal feeling is you should blame it on the phagocytes. And with that, let's give it a score.
The Scoop score is 1.5 star.
So succeeding in that it's better than Girlfriends.
But doesn't take much. No random review selection for this week.
No.
Or for the next show, because, and probably not for the next couple shows, because we've got a bigger fish to fry, but we will bring that back probably as soon as the writer's strike ends. So sometimes in 2010.
Whenever we determine that there's enough worthy programming.
Wait, real quick, what do you think of the odds of just hiring people that really want to be writers but can't afford to get into that union, and a producer saying, you guys want to write? Yeah, okay.
Would never happen because it's career suicide. Once the strike is over, they would be banned.
Yeah.
Forever from writing, so yeah. No.
There's
that's,
a lot of
that's why writers aren't going to cross the picket lines.
No, I'm not talking writers. I'm talking there's got to be a whole field of people that want to be writers.
Yes,
fanfic.
Why wouldn't
kids.
Producers just go get them?
Because if they ever want to do any writing after the strike, they won't be doing.
They'll be blacklisted completely.
But how about kids in college that don't, but they're like good at writing, like yeah. Not good, but they think they're good, you know, like fanfic.
Let's do it. Let's set this up.
Well, what I've read is a lot of producers will just do their own writing,
like Reagan did in the '80s.
Like daytime
you
soaps.
Guys don't want to fly airplanes? Fine, you're fired. I got a ton of people here that want to fly airplanes. Thank you. You're done.
There we go. Ronald Reagan saves the day again. Well, let's move on to our next segment coming soon. Sorry, Jared. I know you had something to say, but.
Well, I want to know what Jared had to say.
No, I was just going
to know what Jared had to say.
I was just going to say there's no way Reagan's coming back from the dead to end the writer's strike. So.
Well,
that'd be like an awesome
The other issue is that if the producers ever want to work with the current writers again, they wouldn't do that. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, you get rid of them. You're like, you guys are done. You're done.
Are you coming out on an anti-writer strike?
You are really definitely. He hates the writers.
No,
it's clear. He's way against the writers.
It's like a bunch of situations. You got two crappy people fighting over something crappy. And I don't really care about either one.
I never thought you would back the people that are producing movies like Transformers.
You know what I like is the regular show we're doing is just background noise to the other conversations that is threading its way through the show.
Yes.
It's fun.
It's a theme, if
it's,
you will.
I don't know. It's like producers aren't making anything good and the writers aren't writing anything good, so.
Well, you're wrong on both cards. And let's move on to coming soon.
What is coming soon?
Thanks, Earl Palmershine. First up, music.
That's a nightmare.
November 20th.
Let's have a kid show.
Sebastian Bach has a solo album coming out.
There you go.
Is it all about the merits of cheap wine?
It's called Angel Down, so it sounds like it. The Killers have a B-sides album called Sawdust, which is not getting very good reviews. Daft Punk has a live...
What? B-sides?
B-sides.
They haven't been around that long.
They've got B-sides.
All you need. Daft Punk has their live album coming out, but there's DVD with it, so the DVD is
probably
worth
it. These don't look like Daft Punk.
The 27th, Mary J. Blige, Godsmack, and Mudvayne. That's Mudvayne spelled with a Y and an E.
Where they go, I have no idea.
Right. Yeah.
Favorite Mudvayne song ever, Earl? You've liked them all?
My favorite Mudvayne?
You like them all?
I always get them mixed up with Puddle of Mud.
Oh, they're very different.
I always get them mixed up with ABBA.
Oh, all right.
My favorite Mudvayne sign is the Gift
Thank
of
you.
Love.
Gift of Love. I'm going to research that one.
It's a rare one.
It's a rarity. It's a B-side.
I have no idea if he saw
that. I think
it was
only released in Spain, but I could be wrong.
Okay. They're big in Spain.
Movies,
Mudvayne
or
is big
as
in
Shane
Spain.
Has titled them this week, always mixing it up, motion pictures, sometimes film, sometimes talkies.
Theaters.
Motion pictures. November 21st, Enchanted is the girl that...
The Disney...
That's one with all the Disney characters come to life.
Yes.
And, no, Disney characters come to life. The princess escapes and... I think it looks interesting.
A peasant girl, played by
new.
Amy Adams, is banished from her animated kingdom.
Just wait till the writer's strike gets filmed.
Evil queen, played by Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon?
Sarandon.
Sarandon.
Anyway, she winds up in New York City. It's basically Mannequin, but with fairy tales.
I disagree because...
Earl strongly disagrees.
What's cool is she keeps
Does Andrew McCarthy get a job
in
this?
Earl, did you know I made that assumption based on the two sentences I read, not the actual movie?
Yeah, I know that. That's why you're crazy.
August Rush, a musical genius played by Freddie Highmore, is aided by a mysterious stranger played by Robin Williams in his effort to find... where's that movie coming from? The Mist, which is... Okay,
remake of The Fog.
I'm pretty sure that the Mist was already an ABC made-for-TV movie.
Yeah. Isn't this the Stephen King one?
Yeah.
And they're changing the ending somehow?
Wasn't it was already a TV movie?
I think so,
I saw the preview, and I'm like, what, they're remaking The Fog already? They just remade it last year. Oh, no. The Mist.
It's a Stephen King novel.
It's a Stephen King novel. Earl?
And next will be the steam.
There aren't any pirate ghosts attacking them.
I think the fog came first, actually.
The gasified maybe solid.
So I didn't realize this. Hitman's coming out. It's a video game.
Yes.
Okay.
What?
But Timothy Oliphant is playing the guy.
He is.
I didn't realize it was an actual actor.
It really is an actor.
I'm not sure what to think about that film, because to me, I see the commercials and it's like so slick and so cool looking that I want to see it.
But I've never
played the game,
it has an incredibly short production time, I guess. Yeah. It was really short.
I look at it and I'm like, oh, Hitman, I can tell. I haven't played any of the games.
It does look like...
It's like,
also,
wow, what
just
concept?
So people are not confused, not it. Brett the Hitman Hart's biography.
Well,
I'm out. I'm out.
And November 30th, Awake, a young man, Christensen, huh?
Hayden
Christensen experiences anesthetic awareness. By the way, have you seen the previews for Jumper?
No.
The other movie he's in, it's based on a book called Jumper also.
No.
It's all about
British
sweaters.
Kids that can teleport themselves through space.
Oh, really?
Oh, kind of like that Riker movie he made, Clockstoppers, Cocksuckers.
All right, time for the explicit tag.
Thank you, Earl.
I'm sorry, we almost made it through.
I don't know when it comes out, but it looks pretty cool. It's like a kid's book or teenage.
Clockers, wasn't that a Spike Lee joint?
Anyway, Awake is coming out. Jennifer Alba's in it and Hayden Christensen.
So it'll be terrible.
Yeah. DVD, November 20th, Live Free or Die Hard.
Buy them now before they go up in price.
Damn right.
Dr. Katz, the complete series, Hairspray 2-disc set. Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause. That's spelled like Claus.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
It's a joke.
And 2 Days in the Valley, which is that Roger Ebert's movie?
No, that's Babe, Something in the Valley.
What's his movie called? 2 Days in the Valley?
Beyond the Valley of the Ultra Vixens, I think is what it was.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. 2 Days in the Valley is the one with James Spader and...
Oh, right.
That's like some sort of special edition?
I got it at home.
I thought this was a new movie.
No.
No.
Oh, okay. November 27th, Bratz the movie, Hot Fuzz, Hot Rod, Waitress, I Know Who Killed Me.
Did you say Hot Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz.
Will you be buying... Are you buying DVDs?
I already have Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz is already
out. Hot Fuzz came out a while ago.
Maybe it's a different version of it.
Supposed to note that.
No more. God damn.
Sorry.
God.
Earl, double dip. Are you done buying DVDs for the time being?
I just slowed down a bit.
Slowed it down.
I've decided to become lazy and do Netflix.
Video games. Lazy week of November 18th.
I'm not taking the bait.
Are these big ones? Oh, Rock Band comes out this week. Next week.
Rock Band? What's that?
Never heard of it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, we're waiting for the Wii One, I guess, or I'm waiting for the Wii One. It'll eventually come
not
out.
Announced.
Earl's got a Wii One. All
well,
you need to do is father,
but not announced.
Wii One.
So he's got a couple of Wii Ones.
I got a Wii One.
When Mandy plays Guitar
Hero, I want a
wet
wipe.
She plays like she flicks up with her middle finger, and I'm like trying to get her to not do that because you can't go that way fast through everything.
Tell me about it.
But I was like, what?
That's a dirty joke.
I was like, you can play bass.
There really is, Earl. Is there?
I told her she can play.
Not that she said she can play bass. Totally.
Mario Party DS.
That's it's a weird party.
some Final Fantasy releases. Mm-hmm. 12 for the DS. 11 expansion, I guess, for the PS2 and 360.
He's throwing out numbers. I don't know what's going
it's
on.
It's like math class.
Link's crossbow training.
I don't want to factor
is that the Wii gun game?
Yep, it comes with an adapter, so it turns your Wii into a gun.
Is this the one that trains people to be killers?
Yes.
With a crossbow.
Oh. Talking about Manhunt 2, that people kind of got like a little stir because you actually have to physically do the stabbing and the...
Yeah,
it's totally hot.
Training killers, but
November,
they won't ever talk about the
week
Nerf
of November 25th. No. Geometry Wars Galaxies for the DS.
When's Trigonometry Wars out?
And the best-titled game in the history of the world for the Wii, Game Party.
No.
Game Party.
Game Party.
That's
Wii. November
27th. I was waiting for Phagocyte the game.
Phagocyte.
That's it. Nothing else is coming soon.
Wow. Adam just rolled through that.
Well, no one could hear me, but that's fine.
Because Earl and Adam, or Earl and Jared are having their own conversation.
Hell yeah.
Talking about jokes we wouldn't make on the air.
Exactly. Coming soon is over.
How's that spelled?
Under the Scope.
Under the Scope.
Is over. And now Jared lights it up with his personality.
I'm going to wait for the music to duck.
And
it's
his
so
love.
Bright in here.
He loves phagocytes and he reads.
There we go. Music ducks down so that you can now hear my...
That's a technical term, Earl. When the music starts getting quieter, we call it ducking.
Thank you. I'm smarter today. God, I hope I get asked a trivia question about that later today.
Comments. We've got a couple comments. Kevin writes in, says, it was a fun show, and Frankenbitch is now part of my drive time tirades. Thanks, Earl.
No problem, pal.
Earl did it.
Oh, and while I really enjoyed the Simply the Best segment, as I told Jared, I hate that song. Ouch. See, I thought he was talking about a different song until he commented, because when he called me on the phone and said, I hate this song, the Scope Sounds Manic Street Preachers song was playing.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It turns out it was the Tina Turner song he hates. And,
well, he's clearly not American for hating that song. Not.
I need another hater.
Gary also writes in, "You had me until the end of the show. Now I hate Jared." No, not really, but he's in control of Robo Adam. That gives him a little pull. You know what else give Jared a little pull? Jared's hand.
A prostitute.
Rim shot.
I think it's today is Gary's birthday, I think.
Yes, happy birthday, Gary.
Happy birthday, Gary.
Let's give you a little this or this. Here we go. There it is. You'll hear this on Monday.
The big applause.
I think what he's referring to is the comment I said where I said Gary carry some weight. And I was not meaning it in a negative way at all. I was saying that Gary's opinion is respected. And
why are you winking at me right now?
And then Shane immediately turned it into like I was making a joke. So
you should go after Shane.
If I offended you inadvertently, I apologize. We all know Shane is the one to blame.
Blame Jared.
If you'd like to blame anyone but me, you can email us at comments@thescopeshow.com. And I'd say you could call the voicemail line at 206-350-7056. But in all likelihood, it's gone dead because nobody called it in the last 30 days. So
I haven't had enough drinks.
So much for that.
Who here saw Gary's play live? That would be me. Thank you. Thank you.
Who's actually been in a play with Gary? Me, thank you.
He's videotaped Gary's plays. Me,
looks like
thank
Adam's
you.
Out.
That means, who's the real winner, though?
Adam. I am, Adam damn it.
That's all I got for you, Shane. That's all I have for you.
That is it. Well, I think this has been a spectacular show.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I'm slightly biased, but I'm sticking with that.
Okay.
Next show, show 42. I don't know how we're going to number these because they're going to be special editions.
I think they might fall out of the normal sequence.
Okay, well, our next show is the Scope World Series of Pop Culture, maybe a Scope special presentation.
Special event.
Everybody get ready
Black
for
Black tie and tails.
We've got hard questions written. We've got production values up the yin-yang, the wazoo.
Lots of phagocyte questions.
Everything's about phagocytes. And
so brush up on your phagocyte biology.
So get ready for it. And that will be starting in 2 weeks and then each week after that.
Right on.
So mark your calendars.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
So everybody.
Thanks for having me.
For Earl, Jared, Adam, and myself, this is Scope 41. Thanks for listening.
Wrong one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing 206-350-7056. Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying hasta mañana. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope. Children say the cutest things, even when you can't understand. Let me just read through it for a sec. Hold on, I'm sorry.